Good morning, church family. Boy, you know, actually, it's kind of nice temperature in here, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, good. Okay. You know, one of the things that we have sought to fulfill in our church life here at Point Loma is to grow and to mature as individuals, to mature spiritually, and also as a congregation. And it doesn't come without its pitfalls, but it also comes with its wonderful blessings too. And we have ample evidence in our very midst of God's blessings. For me, of course, you know, I always start with the people in the congregation, the families. As I look out over this particular group this morning, I see many, many faces that have been richly blessed over the years. And I'm looking at one here that keeps changing all the time. She's getting older and older. I'm not supposed to say that about you, but she's, you know, both of these girls, Heidi and Lexi, have just been growing and maturing, and what a wonderful blessing to see that happen. And I just know that as Lexi goes back up the hill, that is a hilltop experience, isn't it? Up the hill, back to Wildwood, that there will be, once again, she will be a tremendous blessing as the Spirit works through her with the children. And also Heidi, as you think about your schooling here coming up soon, nursing? Yes, okay, see? So God is just really blessing, and I could go around to each individual here and each family, and you would share something that God has done in your life and in your family that has been a evidence of the Spirit's leading. Now, this is something that we wanted to pick up from the last few weeks. This whole process, folks, and I know you've asked yourself this question, and some of you even asked me, and I asked the same thing. How do I know if it's the Spirit's voice that's speaking? You ever ask yourself that question? And that can get like a dog chasing its tail sometimes, right? You go, well, is that me? Is that the Spirit? Is it, you know, some other voice? I mean, you know, you talk about tapes going in your head, you know, these tapes that are running. A lot of times, you know, it's mom. Don't do that, you know, or dad or somebody, you know, in our past. So how do I know? How do I know when the Spirit is speaking? Now, one of the things that we've talked about, and I'm going to bring this for just a moment as we move into this topic this morning. Remember, for those of you that weren't here the last few weeks, that your mind has two major dynamics that are going on. You've got the prefrontal cortex, which is the front here. This does all the sensory and the decision making, and it receives all the information and all the intellectual stuff. Kind of goes on right here, this front part here. Okay, you lose that, you're in trouble. All right. And then you've got the ganglia, which is the area where the prefrontal cortex sends information. Like, for example, when you see an ice cream cone of your favorite ice cream, what happens? You start salivating, and you start saying, oh, I want that. In my case, potato chips. Okay. And you begin to think about what that would taste like, and your hand starts going out, you know, or you reach it in your wallet or whatever. You know, I want that ice cream or gelato or whatever it is you like, okay, or chocolate bar. Now remember that the prefrontal cortex is where you make choices and make decisions and you receive information. It's the prefrontal cortex that informs the ganglia to make the motion or the action towards your decision. All right? And so the ganglia also can do its own thing. It keeps the heart moving or pumping. It does all kinds of things on its own, sort of like rote memory or out of pure, not instinct, but it functions on its own, okay? Now, if the prefrontal cortex tells the ganglia to change its pattern or its routine, it takes a conscious choice, though, of the prefrontal cortex and say to the ganglia, do this or do that. Remember I used the example of the elephant and the elephant trainer? The elephant is the ganglia It has its own little routine, its own little natural things that it does, and it takes the elephant trainer to teach that ganglia, or that elephant, to do other things, okay, that are not natural maybe for it to do, okay? So you've got that dynamic going on in your own brain, all right? I know I'm oversimplifying. For those of you that are in the medical field, you know it's a lot more involved than that, but I'm trying to keep it as simple as I can. Now, this process then, of course, of listening to the Spirit, and where does that come in? Well, as you know, the Spirit is God's Holy Spirit. It speaks to us. Jesus, when he ascended into heaven, said, I am going so that the Spirit can come and can speak to you and can lead you and guide you and teach you, inform you, educate you. All those things. That's what the Spirit does. All right? And the Spirit doesn't short circuit the prefrontal cortex. Okay? It speaks to you, and then you have to decide whether you're going to follow the Spirit or reject it or put it off or make a deal with it. All the things we like to do, right? And so if you're going to act on the words or the counsel or the guidance or the education of the Spirit, if you're going to act on it, you have to make a conscious choice to act and to follow the Spirit and send that message then to the ganglia so the body can respond. Got it? And sometimes, you know, you get into worship services and you have dissonance, what I call spiritual dissonance. Dissonance is when things are conflicting. And so you come to church you go to church and the worship service is so powerful and you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, but everybody's sitting there like it's a funeral. There's dissonance. And then you might come to a worship service where, well, maybe you don't feel the Spirit so much, but everybody's jumping down and hopping around and you're going, really? What's this all about? So you see how that works? Okay? So you're informed through the prefrontal cortex. It informs you. And then you work on that. You act on that information that you receive or that you get. All right? Now, what other ways, just in review, what other ways does God use to speak to us besides just the Spirit? Yeah, thank you. You're holding up your Bibles. This is God's Word. This is the Word of God, put down in alphabetic, you know, in an alphabet that we understand, and in words that we understand. But this is directly from God, all right? And if you can't accept that simple, basic truth, then we have nothing to talk about this morning. This is God's Word. It informs us. It guides us. It counsels us. It leads us. It convicts us. Yeah? You ever had the word convict you lately? But you know what's interesting? The Bible says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Wow. Wow. How did that happen? Not only do we have words on page, you know, that are from God, but then we have a flesh and blood Word from God. And that was Jesus Christ, wasn't it? All right. Now, remember, Jesus, as I said before, when he went back to heaven, he could no longer be here in body form. Why? Because he took on human form, body form. Okay. He has bones. He has flesh. He has blood. We know all of that. All right. So he could no longer be omnipresent. He could no longer be everywhere except through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be in Lexi's life. It can be in my life. It can be in somebody that is clear over in Africa or in Asia or in China. The Spirit can be everywhere at once. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? So none of you have a corner on the Spirit this morning. All of you are in the Spirit, or the Spirit is in you. Remember, Jesus said that. He said, you know, the Spirit will come, and he will lead you and guide you to all truth. All right? So you then are a vessel. You are a container for the Spirit of God. Amen? Isn't that beautiful? How does that happen? Don't ask me to explain it. It happens. Accept it by faith. Now, okay, Maria, it still doesn't help us though. Marty and I are going to have a little conversation here. Let's grab these chairs, Marty, and you grab a mic, and we're gonna try to, what do they say? Bring it on home. Whatever. Now, Marty and I have discussed this off and on over the years, and once again, it's this whole thing, Marty, of how do I discern the voice of the Spirit. And then what do I do with that once I learn to discern and hear the Spirit's voice? Let's use the context that you're very familiar with, and I'm a used-to-be surfer. So you're going to be my trainer. You're going to teach me how to surf, Marty. I've never surfed before, and I want to learn how to surf. We do this every year here with our surf camp. So give me the basics, first of all. How do I start? Where do I begin?
Well, we start by waxing your feet in at potluck.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah. But seriously, the first thing you have to do is learn to get up on your board. So okay. That's the first drill that you will receive if you were to come to surf camp in a couple weeks.
Okay.
How do you get up on your board? And we try to teach you to get up on the middle of the board,
okay,
so that your weight is focused in the middle of the board and you don't fall over to the left or the right.
Okay, learning to balance on the board.
Exactly. Okay. So that's the first thing.
That's in the water or?
On shore.
On the shore, on a stable ground.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
All right.
So we'll draw a shape of a surfboard on the sand. We'll put a line down the middle of it, and we'll have you get up 5 or 10 times over and over and over. Each time you get up, we'll look and see where your feet ended up.
Okay.
And we will know whether the surfboard would have tipped to the right or the left, or whether you would have been balanced properly and you would have been able to possibly stand up.
Okay, so okay, all this information that's coming in, I'm receiving this information, and it's coming into my prefrontal, you know, okay, keep talking now. You're training me.
Okay.
I'm taking this information.
And then once you have gone through that drill and learned to stand, get up, we'll teach you a couple stage get up, and you get up on the center line. Then we'll take you out into the water and get you out to where in front of where the waves are breaking. We'll put you in the white water, and we'll push you into a wave as the white water goes past us. We'll give you a nice push.
Okay.
You don't have to paddle. Your only focus right now is to learn to stand up on that center line.
Okay. All right.
So you'll feel the board start gliding, and as it becomes gliding, and now you're going the speed of the white water, now you're going to try to stand up on the center line.
Okay, so let me just give you back this information that I've been gathering in my prefrontal cortex here. You're going to take me down to the beach. You're going to draw a surfboard in the sand. And you're going to draw a line down the middle. And then I'm going to learn to stand up in the right place on that board so I'll be balanced. Okay, so then after I do that enough times to where I've almost got it, you know, it's a familiar routine. Okay, then you're going to take me out on a board in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now okay, so we're out in the water, and you're going to help me catch just a little wave first, right? And then I'm going to practice what I learned on the shore. I'm going to practice that and do it on the board, right?
Right.
All right. Now, how do I know? How do I know that what you have told me so far is going to work?
Well, you can watch me do it. Maybe,
oh, you're a
and
surfer?
You would have confidence that you would learn.
Oh, okay. So this isn't book knowledge. You're actually a surfer.
I do surf. Yeah.
Okay, so I need
surf.
To come and watch and test your
right,
your skill
right.
and your
and
ability.
You can decide whether or not I'm a good teacher or not.
Okay, yeah. So I trust you. I've been down to watch you. Marty is a good surfer, so I trust Marty. So what Marty tells me, I know is true. Okay, he's never lied to me, and he can surf himself, so I trust him. So then what? Now that I've learned to stand up on the board with the little white water waves, now what?
Okay, so now you've practiced for 3 years, and then we take... No, just kidding. That's about how long it took me. Then we take you out to where the waves are smooth before they break. Okay.
Oh.
So the swells are coming in, and you want to catch them as they break. More challenging situation.
Okay.
And then by this point, you're paddling on your own.
Oh, I thought you were going to push me into the water.
No more pushing.
You can't push me?
Not really.
I don't know if I can do that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't trust myself.
You're out in water that's chest deep over your head, deep water. It would be very difficult for anyone to push you if they wanted to.
So now I've learned to balance. I've learned to catch the little white fizzy, bubbly waves.
Uh-huh.
And you've pushed me into those waves. But now I'm kind of on my own now because I have to now paddle, right?
Right.
You can't help me get into that wave.
No,
I have to paddle into that wave.
Yes, you do.
And you say it's going to work if I paddle hard?
If your timing's right, the wave's right, your balance is right.
Nick? I want you to notice here, I want you to notice in this dialogue that over time and experience, I'm learning to trust Marty, and I hear his voice. And his voice is familiar to me now, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything he's told me so far has worked. Mm-hmm. And it's been a wonderful experience. And I'm excited now because I really want to get out there in the big waves. Mm-hmm. I want to be a real, genuine, bona fide surfer.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of status that comes with that. I not only can stand on the beach and with my chest out, but I can stand on the beach with my hair wet and beat up a little bit, but showing that I really was out there in the rough water. Okay. So now we're out there. Here comes what? You're looking for waves, right?
I'm going to teach you which one to choose, to sit out there so you can be in the right spot when the wave comes.
All right.
And then when the right wave comes, I'm going to tell you to paddle. And your job is just to paddle like something's chasing you, okay?
Just like crazy.
Yeah, you just put all your heart into it.
Okay.
And once you feel that you're catching the wave and you're beginning to ride it, you feel the forward motion, then it's time to stand up.
Okay, so we're out there on our boards. You're on yours, I'm on mine.
Yep.
Okay, I'm in tune with your voice now.
Here comes a swell.
I trust you. Okay, here comes a swell. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay, I'm ready.
Comes a swell. Okay, Glenn, start paddling. Paddle, 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 paddle. Okay, now the wave is coming. Okay, you're on it.
Oh, man. I bit it. What happened, man? I Maytag all over the beach, and everybody's laughing. Look at that guy. Yeah, he fell down. Now what do I do?
Yeah.
I trusted you, Marty. I did something wrong. What did I do?
No, you did a lot of things right.
Oh.
You paddled hard for the wave. You attempted to get on the wave, and that's the first step in learning to ride the wave. So you took an important step by just that whole experience. You probably learned something you shouldn't do. And then the next time around, you'll revise that to something different that you should be doing. So maybe you learned that you got up too late. Maybe you learned that you got up too early. Maybe you learned
forward on the board?
Yeah. Maybe there's some.
Dive.
Right. So you're going to analyze this. I will give you some feedback and say, well, the next time, let's try this.
Okay. Freeze frame. The Apostle Paul is thrown off of his horse on the road to Damascus. He sees Jesus, the one that he's persecuting, identifies who he is. He'll never forget that voice, all right? And from that point on, Saul became Paul. His life was never the same. And the Spirit said to Paul, I have a beautiful palace built for you out here by the Jordan River, and you're going to live a wonderful life. You're going to have all the gold and all the money you want. Is that what he told him? No. He went away to a special place where he learned to hear the voice of the Spirit and to discern the difference. He learned to hear the Spirit and then to follow the Spirit. Where does the Spirit take him? To some huge evangelistic tent? Some huge coliseum where he can speak to hundreds and thousands? No. Takes him to a prison. Dumps him in prison. Chains him up in prison. Now, that would be the equivalent of being Maytagged, or worse. But he heard the Spirit, and the Spirit led him, and the Spirit led him into prison. Chained in prison, what does he do? Does he moan and groan and whine and complain and sippy cup all over the place? What does he do? He sings praises to God. Would you say his faith was pretty strong right there? Yep. Where he leads me, I will follow. Hey, God had a purpose for him to be in prison, and that purpose was to bring the people in the prison to a knowledge of God's power and strength, sent angels to break them out of prison, and because of that, the entire family, we don't know how big they are, but the entire family of the prison warden, the jailer, the strong man, whatever, is brought to Christianity. Lesson number one. Not every time that you fall or seem to fall is a negative thing. Paul could have sat there and said, wait a minute, God, you called me on the road to Damascus to a ministry to share the good news of the gospel. I can't do that here all chained up in prison. He could have said that, but he didn't, because he heard the Spirit speak and he followed. And the Spirit said, don't worry, there's a purpose. Just hang in there. Don't worry. And he praises God. And because of the fact that he praises God, his faith is strengthened and people are saved. Okay, so that's good. So now he's learned to surf, Marty. He's heard the voice of the Spirit. So now his life ought to be pretty easy going. The next wave ought to be pretty good, huh? He should be able to really just rip. Just have a great time surfing the next wave. Okay. So he got that wave pretty good. But then God says, guess what, Paul? I'm putting you on a ship in chains with guards, Roman soldiers, tough bunch of guys. And I'm going to wreck the ship. Wreck the ship. All right, God, whatever you say. Whatever you say, Lord. But you need to convince the guards and the people on the ship to listen to my voice. And they'll all be saved. Whew. Wow. And they did that. Paul advised them not to leave the boat, but to hang with the boat and let it smash on the rocks, and then they would grab pieces of wood and float ashore. And they were all saved. Just exactly as how the Spirit had told Paul exactly what would happen. Well, I would say that was being Maytag, don't you think? Maytag, by the way, means when you get tumbled in a wave, like a Maytag washing machine. That's kind of the experience, all right? Nick taught me that word. I'd never used that, but didn't know that. Anyways, you get tumbled. And you run out of air and you think you're going to die. And then the last minute you pop up and you go, oh, you know, you're out of air. You almost die. They could have died that day when the ship was wrecked if they had not obeyed the voice of the Lord. Right? Okay, so tell me more now about this surfing thing and hearing the voice. So I listen to your voice now, because now I've successfully surfed a wave, and I'm going, okay, so Marty really does know what he's talking about. He really does.
I think the key to good surfing is really to develop good automatic reflexes. In other words, you see the situation around you, you assess it, and you make... you learn to make good decisions in that situation based on past experience. So what you want to do is when you do something that doesn't work, or maybe, you know, you didn't follow the instruction completely or properly, what you want to do is kind of sit back and say, okay, what happened there? What do I want to do differently next time? Mm-hmm. And then next time you have an opportunity again to do something differently and have a different result. So I think that's the process of maturing as a surfer, is making those responses, as many of them as automatic as you can, and then continue to grow in the other areas where, you know, you need improvement.
Okay. So this is not a complex, difficult thing here. We've got you... the instructor, experienced, wise, written books and magazine articles on surfing, photographs at all the galleries, you know, of you surfing, just huge waves. And you, I trust you now. I hear your voice. I believe in you. I know you know what you're talking about. And I want to be like you. I want to learn to surf like you. Okay? Mm-hmm. There's no way that I'm going to learn to surf like you if I sit out there, you know, 100 yards or whatever offshore or whatever, you know, wherever the waves are ideal for catching. And I sit out there and I just watch the waves go under me. Like, wow, that was a good one. Well, he caught it. Wow, I wish I'd taken that one. You see what we can do with our lives? We can talk about and theorize and philosophize and theologize about faith. Faith is not just a word, folks. Faith is an action. How long do you think that God would have had the faith discussion with Abraham and Ur of the Chaldees if Abraham had just said, well, okay, God, I want to follow you, but this word faith, what does that mean? You know, what do I need to do? Let's talk about it for a little bit. In fact, why don't you come back to me after I get married and after we have our children and the children are grown up and our grandchildren, then maybe that'd be the time to do it. Is that what the Bible tells us happened? No. It says, Hebrews chapter 11, there's a whole list of life surfers, if you want to call them that, in the book Hebrews, the 11th chapter. All these people who by faith, it says, God called them and they did what? Philosophized? Theologized? They followed. They took the step. The prefrontal cortex said to the ganglia, follow God. Pick up your feet, load up the camel, and let's go. Abraham's life was never the same. In fact, God didn't really tell him where he was going. The scriptures tell us that Abraham hadn't a clue where he was headed. He wandered aimlessly, you would think. Everybody else is going, boy, Abraham, he really blew it. I don't know about his God, but they're all over the place. I saw him in Egypt, and then I saw him out here, and he's everywhere. What's with this? Doesn't he have a place to lay his head? Or pitch a tent or a piece of property or real estate? No. Because he's following the Spirit. And where the Spirit leads, we follow. Oh, you mean that? What if the Spirit's calling me to go to Africa? You better follow. You can sit and argue if you want. You can sit and talk about it. You can theologize and philosophize and argue and complain and make deals with God. But if the Spirit speaks, you better follow. Because the more you put the Spirit off, the less it's going to speak. Seriously. How long do you talk to someone that won't talk back or speak with you? Or you don't talk very long, do you? It's like, okay, nobody's listening here. See you guys. All right? Learn to listen for the voice of the Spirit and then follow. It's a simple choice, isn't it, Marty?
It's a very challenging choice, I think, at times. It's simple, but I think sometimes everything within us, all of our past, all of our upbringing, all of our natural tendencies sometimes resist. And we have trouble overcoming those and, you know, trusting. Mm-hmm. But God always calls us to another step, a deeper step, mm-hmm. Of trust in Him and not in ourselves.
Okay. Yeah. So, Marty, would you say that there's some pretty decent surfers that come out here and surf this coast here along these shores? Would you say there's some pretty decent surfers out there?
Yeah, definitely.
And would there even be some guys maybe that are internationally known? I mean,
yes.
I know they have the meet down here, what, every year, don't they?
Yeah, they're very, yeah. Yeah.
And these guys have trophies. Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this question. How many of those guys surf the big boys, the Mavericks?
Yeah, I mean, there's probably 20 or 30 guys in the world that are out there regularly, so not very many.
So what is the difference? Mavericks are giant waves. They're several different places, but one of the locations is in Northern California,
yeah,
or Central California?
Near San Fran somewhere.
Yeah. Where these waves, they're what, 40 to 50 feet? They're monsters. Look it up. Look it up. Not right now. Look it up on your little fancy iPhone. You'll see them. They're monsters. What's the difference between the pros down here and the guys that'll surf the monsters?
I think the ones further north are probably a little more addicted to adrenaline, maybe.
Mm.
I don't know. it's a whole different type of surfing. The guys that surf the huge waves are in it for different reasons than the ones with the smaller ones. They have different goals.
You would have to say, though, that they're pretty experienced.
Very experienced, yes.
They have an overblown sense of self, what's the word I want to use, confidence, wouldn't you say?
They have to have a lot of it.
A lot of self-confidence. Yeah. And maybe just a little bit of craziness. Okay. Let me tell you, that probably most of the guys that are winning the championships here are capable of surfing the big boys. But they didn't choose to do that. Does that make their abilities any less? No. You look in the Bible, there's some pretty, pretty great, huge, incredible people in the Bible, men and women of faith. And you look at yourself and you go, I'm still playing in the white water down here, you know, in Ocean Beach. Look at these guys, huge men and women of faith. I mean, they did incredible. They moved mountains. They basically overthrew the Roman Empire. I mean, really, they did. If you look at history, the Christian church rocked the Roman Empire. Eventually, the Roman Empire said, we'll follow along. We'll somehow blend with you. That's really what happened. Constantine pulled it off. Faith is something that each of us is given a measure of by God. And that faith will grow. It's like a muscle. The muscle does not grow and become stronger if it's not used. Right? By the way, the brain has memory. Did you know that? That's kind of dumb, isn't it? The brain has memory. The brain and the ganglia has memory. And the ganglia can be taught to do different things. Just like the elephant can be taught by the trainer to do different things. The brain can be taught to change. Now I'll let you sit down. Let's go down here for a minute. Thanks, Marty. We're going to do this again next week if you're around. I know you will be, so we'll do it. But look at this, guys. Let's take a look at the passage that we have this morning. We'll just take a moment here. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. This is, the Apostle Paul, the life surfer. He's a great surfer. And beginning with verse, I wanted to start with 20. You. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth. Taught. There's the word taught. These people didn't know who Jesus Christ was. They didn't know the gospel, but they were taught with truth that is in Jesus. They were taught that truth is in Jesus. They were taught that salvation is in Jesus. They were taught that eternal life is in Jesus. You got it? Can't say that enough. And moving on. Okay, it is in Jesus. All truth is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. I've seen people try to go out and surf without any kind of help or education or information, and they end up
the board hitting them in the head,
and ingesting a lot of salt water, which really does not taste good, and it really is really bad when it gets in your lungs. About 30 years ago, my brother-in-law and I saved two guys that were caught in the surf up in Balboa, right off the wedge there. They were surfing. They had never been in the ocean before, and they were out trying to body surf in waves that even the guys with the boards didn't want to go into. And we literally had to go out and rescue them, and I almost got drowned by the person I was trying to rescue. So you have to go here. Let's go back to our text here. You're taught the truth in Jesus. You were taught with regard to the former way of life to put off the old self. You have to put off the old self. Consciously, you have to choose with your prefrontal cortex to tell the ganglia that things have changed now. I'm not the old man that I used to be. The things I used to do now have to change. Instead of your hand reaching for that glass of cold Michelob or whatever, your hand reaches to what? To the Word. To read God's Word. The things that you used to see with your eyes, now you don't look at. You don't participate in. Things you used to do, you don't do. That takes a conscious choice. That's why I tell people, when you first become a Christian, sometimes in order to move, in order to grow, in order to mature, you have to say bye-bye to old friends. We don't like that thought. At least until you get your legs under you and you learn to surf, sometimes you have to limit your interaction with the old gang. Especially if the old gang is doing the old things that the old man used to do. Because now you are a new man in Christ Jesus. You have put on a new persona. You are a new person in Christ. All right? The old is gone, the new has come. The old man is dead, the new man is alive in Christ Jesus. Okay? That's what Paul is talking about here. You put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. The attitude of your minds takes a conscious choice. You notice that? If you want to change an attitude, you have to make a choice. Some people are born with bad attitudes, and some people are born with good attitudes. So the ones with the bad attitudes have to learn to put on a good attitude. Learn how to be a follower of Christ. So put off the old, put on the new, change your attitude, and the attitude begins in the mind, and to put on the new what? The new self. You go from being a beachcomber, being a person who stands on the shore and watches the surfers and says, wow, I wish I could do that. That would sure be great to go out there and ride on that board. And wow, they look like they're having fun. You go from being the guy on the shore to the guy in the surf on the board by the grace of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. But it takes a conscious choice. And it takes a choice to listen and discern the voice of the Spirit. Okay? And then Paul, here in this passage of Scripture, a new attitude, and it begins in your mind, and you put, by beginning with your mind, you put on a new self. It's created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Wow. Changing behavior by changing thinking is crucial. It is important. It is impossible to get from wrong behavior to right behavior without changing your thought patterns. That's really what Paul is saying. Changing your thought patterns and having that voice, the Holy Spirit, speaking to you, this is the way, walk ye in it. And following that voice. Conscious choice. Christians must learn to align their thoughts and their will with God's Word and God's will. What did Jesus say when he was here on this earth? They said, what are you doing here? He said, I'm about my Father's work. I'm doing the will of the Father. He wasn't doing his own thing. He was doing the will of the Father. That should be our simple answer. What are you doing here? I'm doing the will of the Father. And the Spirit said, this is the way, walk ye in it.